This show furnished by Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervey's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervey. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervey and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervey, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervey, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And I am not here to manage your life by myself. I am here with an even better manager of your life than usual. Kerry Kasem is AWOL. Where is Kerry Kasem? Kerry, if you're listening, please call in. We're worried about you. We don't know where you are. You were supposed to be here today. And lo and behold, we had to replace you at the last minute. And I want to thank Troy Slayton for coming in. He was fighting SIG alerts in Calabasas to get here today. Troy is pinch hitting for Kerry. Kerry, we hope you're okay. You're supposed to be here, but you're not. But I know you called in and said you had something more important than Gervey's Law. I'm not sure what that could be. But we have someone more important than Kerry Kasem today. At least today. I hope she's listening. She's going to kill me. Carrie's smiling. I'm sure she's listening. Troy Slayton, thank you for coming in. Troy Slayton is the youngest partner in firm history,
yes,
at Floyd Skarin. What a
claim to fame.
What a claim to fame. Well, you had a claim to fame as a childhood actor, of course. Parker Lewis Can't Lose and Cagney and Lacey and a bunch of others. And you are going to have a new claim to fame, I'm predicting.
Hopefully.
You will be the next Superior Court judge in L.A.
Yes, for the Los Angeles County Superior Court. So I hope everybody listening that's registered to vote in L.A. County goes out and votes on March 3rd.
You know, Troy, you've been on the air so often on CNN, on HLN,
yeah, Fox
CBS,
News.
Fox News, all of them. And you should know better to get closer to your mic than stay in the corner like Parker Lewis Can't Lose in the corner.
You can't hear me well? Is this not picking up? You've got amazing equipment here.
The equipment is terrible at KBC.
Unfortunately for you, you know, Kerry Kasem is much better looking than I am.
I don't think so.
I've been told that I have a face for radio.
No, you don't.
Oh, thank
people
you.
People have to go. What is your website? Now people are curious. They want to see what Troy Slayton looks like. Give the website for running for judge, Troy Slayton for judge.com.
That's it, Troy Slayton for judge.com. Please visit, see what it's all about, see what the issues that are important
bring
to me
bring the mic
are.
Up to your mouth. Come on,
are
make
you
out
kidding?
With that mic.
I am right here.
You
I am.
Are, the, oh, the, there you
the
go.
Mic
now,
is
now
almost
I'm feeling
in
it.
My tonsils.
It's almost in your tonsils. How are you doing? What a harrowing experience getting here.
It was. There was a SIG alert on the 101 westbound near Las Virgenes. The freeway was stopped. I was trying to figure out through Waze and Google Maps how was the best way to get here because I did not want to be 1 minute late because your producer,
Genevieve Wong,
said that in the history of the show, no guest host has ever been late, and I did not want to be that statistic.
And you're here. And people don't know what a SIG alert is. Now, you are have been a well-known criminal defense attorney. Talk about SIG alerts in California.
Well, I believe that SIG alert was started by an old radio man,
yes,
who it eventually was named after him. It stands for some sort of traffic incident, a major traffic incident that gets rated to SIG alert, but it was named after a Los Angeles radio personality.
Yeah, like Jim Healy or something like that.
Something like that.
And we're only saying that because a lot of people listen on KBC.com and aren't local Angelenos. Mm-hmm. So my day was so much better than yours, Troy.
Probably was.
I left late from my home in Calabasas. I didn't see any SIG alert, so I'm not even sure if you're being honest or not.
Which is my hometown, by the way.
I know it is.
I grew up in Calabasas.
You did. Calabasas
I was in
High School.
It was before it was Calabasas. before the Kardashians, before the Biebers. It was Horsetown. There was dirt roads.
And Drake. Don't forget about Drake. He lived off Muro Road where you got stuck today.
We had Dusty Baker.
Dusty Baker. That's big. Dusty Baker for the Los Angeles Dodgers.
He used to give out full-size candy bars at Halloween. It was a big deal.
Halloween is great in Calabasas, but we digress. I wanted to say, though, that my day was great, and no one even cares, but being Canadian, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers just completed winning the Western Final. They're going to the Grey Cup next week in Calgary, one of the first times in many, many years that the Bombers will be in the Grey Cup. So I am very excited. I was listening on the radio on the way here. It was a very exciting game. I made it on time. Tell us about your run for judge. That's something that's really important.
Thank you. So I've been an attorney for about 15 years. As you know, and as you mentioned, I had a previous career in entertainment as an actor for about 25 years. So I'm looking for my third career.
Yes.
To be a judge on the bench. And people ask, what's Superior Court? What does that mean? In California, there used to be municipal courts and superior courts, but those merged in the early 90s. And so now Superior Court is the court for everything. It could be traffic. It could be family
law. How about
law.
For workers' compensation?
It's everything except that.
Thank
that
you.
Is
the, I'm such a good lawyer.
The
I
Workers'
got
Compensation
you.
Appeals Board, for which you are an expert.
I am.
And you're pretty much the expert in the preeminent workers' yep. compensation attorney representing the injured workers all over the state of California.
Absolutely.
You have landmark cases that all attorneys throughout the state actually refer to.
I'm really famous, actually, as a workers' comp attorney. Did you know that, Troy?
You are a legend in your own...
I am in my own mind. Let's get back to you. Enough about me.
You.
You know, I have a real question, because I'm, sure. you know, being Canadian, I referenced Winnipeg Blue Bombers going to the Grey Cup next week. I don't understand this business of running for a judge, and you have issues, and you've got really great issues. You've got women's reentry court, collaborative courts, criminal justice reform. All of this is jail overcrowding. These are great issues. But why, Troy, why do you run to be a judge? Is this a political maneuver on your part?
It's a nonpartisan position. Judges are elected. Judges have to stand for re-election every 6 years. So every 2 years, one-third of the judiciary in L.A. County and throughout the state comes up for re-election. Most judges are appointed by the governor of the state of California right now, Gavin Newsom. Mm-hmm. But these judges chose to not have Governor Newsom replaced them. So they instead just chose not to run for re-election. So actually this time there's 188 judges that were up for re-election, but 12 did not turn in their paperwork. So that created 12 open seats. Nobody is challenging a sitting judge right now. So these are 12 vacant seats that the governor was not able to fill because of the way the judges just didn't file their paperwork.
But in theory, Judge Troy.
Not yet. Don't jinx it.
I'm not jinxing it. Well, you have to get confidence here, and we're pumping it up here. But in theory, isn't it true that a judge shouldn't have any partisanship? Shouldn't they be listening to the evidence? When I go before a judge, I don't want any preconceived or predispositions for the issues before the judge. But here you have all kinds of great, you know, initiatives, I believe. But you're going to be a judge. You should be impartial. You should listen to facts and evidence.
I am impartial, and I will decide the cases on the facts and the law before me. But you need to get elected. And these are nonpartisan positions. So they're not Democratic or Republican positions. Judges are nonpartisan. You don't run under a Democratic ticket or a Republican ticket. Absolutely nonpartisan. But you have to let the voters know about what's important to you. What is it that I want to accomplish when I get onto the bench? And these are the issues that are important to me, especially collaborative courts. Many people don't know that there are some special programs for veterans, for people that are addicted to drugs, for the homeless. There are certain courts that are better positioned and better equipped to deal with those people, those populations from our community, so that way we don't just put people through the system and overcrowd our already overcrowded jails.
Now, I love the way you put that, because you said that there are certain issues that are important to you. Mm-hmm. And that makes a whole lot of sense. You're not talking specifically about political issues. You're not talking about certain laws that may or may not be something that you agree with. You're talking about issues that affect all of us. And here in Los Angeles, there are some really important underserved areas where people are not perhaps getting a fair shake, and we're not rehabilitating people to get them back into society.
The legislature in California has said that veterans hold a special place in our community. And those people that have elected to serve the people of the United States through the military and through the service are entitled to some special consideration. When they've been in the war theater and they come back and they're suffering from PTSD and drug addiction and they have much higher suicide rates than others, then there are courts that are supposed to give them a special chance to do certain things, to get treatment, to get mental health treatment, to get drug treatment, instead of just being incarcerated. The United States has some of the highest incarceration rates in the developed world, and we shouldn't just be housing people. We should be trying to get them better, to get them out of the system, so that way they don't become recidivists, which means to do it again and again.
And you have really spent a lot of time with kids. They're very important to you. You've served on advisory boards for Kids for Saving the Earth and Earth Communications Office, mm-hmm. as well as being involved with Lodge Youth Services, Pacific Lodge Youth Services. How does that play a role in you running to be a judge?
So at the Pacific Lodge Boys Home, there's about 80 male youth that are on probation, mostly from Los Angeles County. These are young men who are in a residential treatment facility. It's a beautiful facility out in the western San Fernando Valley. And they are kids who can't go back home for a number of reasons. Either their parents are incarcerated or are just not fit for them. And these kids are continuing the cycle of being involved in the system because they have committed crimes. They're on probation, and we want to try and get them out of the system so that way they don't become lifelong offenders. And so I got a firsthand look at what that means when a court places somebody on probation. One of the duties of a judge is to put somebody on probation. What probation means is that jail is up on a shelf and the court is monitoring to see whether during a certain amount of time you can do certain things, you can reach certain milestones. And if you are able to successfully do those things, then jail is permanently on the shelf. And so it was a great opportunity for me to be able to serve in that capacity. So that way I have a better understanding than most judges who are just placing people on probation and don't really know what happens after that.
That makes a lot of sense. And I really appreciate the passion that you show, because it's something that I think is important to a lot of people. You're endorsed by Nancy Grace, of course, Dr. Drew, Lester Friedman, the next mayor of Beverly Hills.
That's right. He is the vice mayor of Beverly Hills. I think he's a colleague of yours.
A colleague. I noticed that I'm not on your website of endorsing you. I should be.
Have you endorsed me?
I am going to somehow.
Can I request your endorsement on the air?
How do you do that?
You ask the person.
Go ahead.
Will you endorse my candidacy for judge of the Los Angeles County Superior Court?
I absolutely will, Troy.
That is an honor.
Well, it's an honor to have you, someone who I know very well, will do a great job as a judge, running as a judge. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people. How do people get more information about your campaign for judge?
They could visit TroySlatonForJudge.com.
Troy Slaton.
TroySlaten forjudge.com. Four is F-O-R, not the number four.
Right, four. And you were, you've spent a lot of time in criminal courts as a criminal defense attorney. We are going to dedicate the rest of the show to crime and fighting crime and learning about crime through web sleuths. Are you familiar with web sleuths?
I am familiar with web sleuths.
Tell me about it. No, I'm just kidding. We have to go to a break. I know you want it.
Well, we have, even better than me telling us about it, we've got the people that are behind Web Sleuths that are going to be up in the next segment. So that way we could hear it right from the horse's mouth.
There you go. Jessica Everleth and Trisha Griffith will be joining us. It's an internet sensation. If you're not familiar, during the break, listen to the ads, but also Google Web Sleuths and find out more about it, because we're going to talk about it for the rest of the hour. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
The intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. Do you do a Pink Panther impression?
I don't.
Because I know you do a lot of
But I was a big Blake Edwards fan.
Oh, you were?
I loved all the Blake Edwards films in the 60s.
Yeah, I loved them as well, but I'm not as experienced as you are in this area, because I'm just kind of a dumb jock here. I told that to my wife earlier today, because she wondered why I was watching football all day. So that was my answer.
And I knew your wife. Should we let the audience know that?
You kind of still
know
her.
In fair disclosure,
yeah,
that we went to elementary school and middle school and high school together.
Yeah, right in Calabasas.
Yes.
You actually didn't go to high school with her, but that's okay. You went with her friends. She went off to some private school in Indiana.
But, okay.
You went with her friends. So let's talk about Web Sleuth. It's an internet sensation. If you haven't heard of Web Sleuth, you have to check it out. Very interesting stuff. And we'll find out exactly. From the research I've done, I've seen there's about 137,000 members. It's probably growing. They have the Web Sleuth radio podcast that have just recently started. It's been around for a long time. And today we're going to talk to two of the people behind it, especially Trisha Griffith, who is the host. And she really has put her heart and soul into it. It is a forum for registered users to discuss and classify information related to crimes, trials, and unsolved cases. There's so many unsolved cases, probably more in America than any other place. There's so many crime shows, and this brings the people in America, it gives them the opportunity to get involved in solving crime. I want to first welcome, and she can do an introduction of Trisha because she knows her probably better than we do. In fact, she does know her better than we do. Jessica Everleth is an award-winning director, producer, writer. She's executive producer of the Web Sleuths radio podcast. And before the show, I was talking to her about the Surviving R. Kelly documentary. If you haven't seen it, it's phenomenal. We had Tamara Simmons and Jesse Daniels on, who were behind that, and Jessica was involved as a producer of that as well. Jessica, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you. Tell us a little bit about how you got involved, and you can tell us about Trisha and everything that she has done to get Web Sleuths where it is today.
Sure. Well, I'm a true crime television producer, so I do a lot of programs for Discovery ID, Oxygen, Core TV, and I heard about Trisha when I was doing some development work. I was looking for a new project to work on, and somebody told me about Web Sleuths. I'm like, oh, wow, I have to check out this true crime forum with all these members who come together with a hive mind with a goal of, like, solving some of these very difficult cases, like these Golden State Killer.
You have 140,000 people that are members.
She does, yeah. I'm not the owner. Trisha's the owner.
You guys, the collective. And when I say guys, that's gender inclusive.
Hey, Troy, it seems like Jessica is following your lead on this media thing. Get her closer to the mic.
Oh, can you do that? Right, like that?
Oh, I love that.
All right, there we go.
There you go. See, Troy,
a bad habit.
You're starting a trend. Well, let's talk, because we're name-dropping with Trisha Griffith here, and she is the host, and she's hosted other things as well. She's behind it. She's put her heart and soul in it. Trisha, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Oh, I am so thrilled to be here, Alan and Troy. And I'll tell you, if you can't find Carrie, you let us know. Web Sleuth members will be on it in a heartbeat. We'll find her. We'll bring her to you anytime you want.
It's so interesting you say that, because for the last 7 years that I've been doing the show with Carrie, there was so much that we were talking about throughout the period of time with her dad, Casey Kasem. And then when the body was moved out of the United States, ultimately, I believe it was buried in Norway. But Web Sleuths would have been a perfect a forum to find out what the heck was going on with Carrie's dad, and then after he passed away, unfortunately, his body. Tell us how Web Sleuths works and how people just out there, people of the United States, can get involved in solving these really difficult cases.
Well, it's actually anybody from all over the world. We have a big Australian following, a big Australian forum, so it's anybody. And basically, it's kind of, if you build it, they will come. Web Sleuths was built, not by me, but it was built in 1999. It was a small forum, and I took it over. And what it is people just come together, they pick a case to talk about, and then they pick apart the evidence. Now, I would love to be able to say we've solved thousands of crimes, but unfortunately, we don't have all the evidence that the police does, but what the police officers and police agencies across the world do. But what we do have are some of the most brilliant minds in the world that come on Web Sleuths and pick apart the evidence and discuss possibilities. And you know what? You know what I see every single day? Law enforcement on Web Sleuths reading constantly. So they're getting ideas. They're taking our ideas and hopefully using them. Unfortunately, we don't know if we've ever really solved, a huge case or not, because they don't tell us. But we do know they come on Web Sleuths a lot and read what our members are saying. We have helped with some cases, and we've had seen a conclusion to some cases, and it's all due to Web Sleuths members. But again, we come together to talk about these cases, and especially one of our main forums, missing persons, because let me tell you, there are thousands of missing persons out there. And we come together, our members come together, and try and help these families that have their missing loved ones that have had not one single shred of media. And so our members are there to let them know that we care. Now, just really briefly, the reason why Web Sleuths is so successful is one of the reasons we have a great moderation staff. We are tightly moderated. I believe in free speech, but I'm not going to let you say whatever you want in my home. On Web Sleuths, we make sure that nobody is calling anybody a name. Nobody is bullying. You can't make up stuff. You can't bring up an innocent person and accuse them of a crime. If it weren't for the 24-hour, 7-day-a-week moderators, Web Sleuths would just be like another Facebook page out of control with wild rumors.
You vet. And you vet some of your members, right? You check their credentials.
Do.
You have DNA analysis experts. You have people from law enforcement. And you actually check them out to make sure that they're legit.
And exactly right. And we do this because, and I'll be as brief as I can here, we had a member on years ago who claimed to be a homicide detective, and she was the most favored member on Web Sleuths. Everybody loved her because she started talking about all her cases, and every day we waited for her to come on, and I started thinking, wait a minute, she's giving all kinds of details that maybe she shouldn't. So I contacted her, and I said, look, I need to talk to your boss and make sure this is okay. To this day, I don't know why she gave me her boss's number, but she lied. She wasn't a detective. She was a jail guard. So, and she has made it up. So what we have done now is if somebody comes on and says, hey, I'm a lawyer, we immediately contact them and say, okay, you cannot mention you're a lawyer ever again unless we verify who you are. We do not reveal to anyone who they are. I verify them. My administrator verifies them. They have to show us proof of what they say is the truth. And so, then under their names, we say they're verified. So we do take extra care to do that.
Tricia, you have two attorneys sitting here who cross-examine witnesses for a living. You've said a lot of things. And it's interesting because there are some criticisms that are made toward what you're saying in the sense, first of all, from police officers. I don't doubt that police will kind of hang around the site and get involved because they can learn things and use it to their advantage. But certain police personnel have said that there's sensitive information that people are talking about, and they don't think that's the proper channel, that if you have any tips, you should call one of the police or the criminal tip lines and let the quote-unquote professionals deal with it that way instead of the amateurs on Web Sleuths. And then another thing, and Troy asked you about it, when you're looking and you're trying to figure out who these people are, there has been some criticism that you're censoring certain people unfairly. So I am going to give you a chance to think about that because we have to take a break. This is not like you're in the court of law where we're cross-examining, say, answer the question, answer the question. But when we come back, I want to hear from both Jessica and Tricia, and we'll talk about some of the criticisms and why Web Sleuth has been so successful in the face of those issues. We are going to do that right after the break. We've got to take a break here at Gervey's Law. You're listening to Talk Radio 790 KBC. I'm Alan Gervey. He's Troy Slayton, and we'll be right back. Yeah, we're back. Wayman, you're looking at me like you're excited about this music. I'm not, but it's okay. It's all right. It's just kind of putting me to sleep.
It's crime music.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it sounds like you're in a chase.
Is that what?
Yeah,
that's so sort of cool. Wayman's excited about you saying that. And you would know Troy Slayton. You know, you've obviously been a criminal defense attorney. You've been involved with commentary on air on a lot of different cases.
I have. I was on with Nancy Grace, who is a crime victim advocate. I was on her show probably over 100 times, and also her radio show. Which is on Crime Online on Sirius XM. And
yeah, and she endorses you for
She endorses judge. My run for,
Your run for
Superior Court Judge of the County of Los Angeles.
Yeah, she does. I'm not on the list, but Nancy Grace, she's
Wait, you're going to be on the list now because you just told me that you've endorsed me. You're not taking back your endorsement.
Not so far, but we still have 30 minutes left
in
the show.
Good. We'll
so
see.
We'll see how it goes. So we're talking about Web Sleuths. It's an internet community focused on crimes and missing persons. The owner and the big head honcho behind it, Tricia Griffith, is on the phone with us. And in studio right here live is Jessica Everleth, who is executive producer of the radio podcast, which was just launched, what, October 29th?
Yes.
How has that gone? It's just been a short time.
It's been going great. The first episode was with Ethan Brown. He's the executive producer and author of Murder in the Bayou, which is currently airing on Showtime. And then our second episode was with homicide detective turned crime scene cleaner. That was an interesting episode.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Now, how do you get the synergy with Web Sleuths?
It's a little bit different than the True Crime Forum. I think we pick, you know, cases that are current and important. And also, I think people want to hear more from, you know, true crime producers who work like Ethan Brown, for example. He spent 2 years of his life working on the book, and now he's an EP of the series. So we wanted to hear why this case was so important to him. And that particular case was covered extensively on Web Sleuths Online.
What's been the reception for the podcast?
It's going very well. We're very excited.
That's awesome.
How do people hear it?
Apple, it's on like 9 platforms, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, Radio Public,
Google Podcasts,
and so are
Overcast,
iTunes.
Are these all Anchor. Unsolved mysteries? So these are all cases. These are cases of national or international importance. So how do you, what type of stories are these? And how do you decide what's going to be covered on Web Sleuths?
On the forum or the show?
On the show.
On the show, I think it's just topical, like what people want to hear about, what's making news, what are the big breaking stories.
So the high-profile cases.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. Because we want to bring Tricia back in here. Before the break, Tricia, we were talking about some of the criticisms of the detractors, and I really want to give you an opportunity to respond because I know you have responses that are important for people to hear. We were talking about, you know, the police, for instance, saying it's not a proper forum for people to be talking about sensitive information about crimes or missing persons. They would rather that people call the quote unquote professional, so to speak. And the other thing is for people who are commenting on the forum in Web Sleuths, and there's a lot of them, that's for sure. Is it over 170,000 or how many? 137,000? How many?
It's 137,000 registered members. Yeah.
Yeah. So a lot of people say, well, you know, I have something to say, and you have to be vigilant in making sure, like you said, quality control, that you don't let everyone say things that may not be appropriate. But people have said, well, how do you decide what's appropriate and what isn't, and who are you censoring and who are you not? So why don't you go ahead and let us know what your responses are?
Okay, well, I'll start with the censoring, and I'll tell you who decides what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate, and that's me. It's a privately owned forum, and all we do is we truly try to stick to the facts only, and that is the facts of the case. We can't, well, like I said, we don't let anybody call names. We don't let anybody bring up innocent people. And people think that's a denial of freedom of speech. It is not. Let me tell you, before we had these tight rules, Web Sleuth membership was not that big. When we tightened these rules, everybody freaked out. Oh my gosh, we can't say whatever we want now. Everybody's going to leave. And the exact opposite happened. Everybody came because they said, now we can talk about a case. We don't have to worry about anybody saying that our idea is stupid. And that's the difference from any other discussion. We keep on topic. Everybody begged me for a political forum. And I said, okay, I'm going to make a basic rule. And that is no name calling or, you know, picking on people's families, no personal digs against members. And then you can say whatever you want.
What about the potential for innocent people to get caught up in this? There was the Carroll County Sheriff's Office who said to you to please stop posting side-by-side pictures of people that you think did this with regard to the Delphi killer. That was a big profile, high-profile case. They said that you were ruining innocent people's lives.
Well, hold on. No. Hold on one second. We don't do that. What we do, and we immediately stopped. What
there were side-by-side pictures, right, where people thought that this might be the person. And so the sheriff's department was saying, look, imagine that this was your son or your brother or your father. These are, you know, a potentially innocent person could be associated with that, and then the internet is forever. That person's picture is forever next to the killer and associated with something awful like that.
Your Honor, may I answer the question, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. You are combining everything that happened on the internet. That was mostly Facebook. And we always get roped in with anything bad on the internet. We did not allow that. What we allowed momentarily was if there was a convicted sex offender that was in the area, or if there was a suspect that the police talked about and their picture was already in the paper, then we allowed a side-by-side, but it was very few of them, and we started taking them down even before the police asked us. That was mostly Facebook, and we always get blamed for what Facebook does. Our rules are very tight, very tight. And whenever anything happens, oh, it's Web Sleuth, and it's not. It's Facebook and other forums. So we're very careful to keep innocent people out, but that doesn't mean that we won't talk about people. Because if they are in the public domain already brought out by the police, then we discuss them. We do not take people that are private citizens who somebody thinks just might be involved and throw it up there.
Yeah, that would be vigilante justice. That's not something they're interested in at all.
All of us know about lawsuits because we deal with it all the time. Have that occurred with
never.
You've never been sued?
Nope.
For any type of slander, libel, or
defamation,
false light, anything like that?
Never have. We are very, very careful. Now, that's not to say that you can't go back to 2004 when I purchased it and find something, because we have, 12 million posts. We're not perfect, and we do our best. And if somebody contacts me, here's a perfect example, okay? Somebody was a missing person when they were a kid, and then they were found, and it was an ugly custody battle. Well, they'll contact me and say, can you please remove that? It's over. I'm okay, but it's coming up in Google searches. We remove it immediately. Rarely. There's been one time when I have refused to remove a case, and that was a case of a sex offender who had been released and then reoffended and then released again, and he said, can you please remove it? And I said, no. Because he was just disgusting. He was even disgusting the way he asked for it. So anytime there's anything like that, we do our very best because we don't want to hurt innocent people.
And just before we go to the break, Tricia, talk a little bit about the police and how they get involved. Because it seems like a lot of the information that you get may be valuable to the police, but sometimes they're concerned that it shouldn't be in this type of public forum.
Okay, well, let me tell you something. when we get any information like that, it would have to be from a verified person. If somebody jumped on and said, okay, I know this guy's boyfriend, and I think he's the one that killed the family, boy, we remove that so damn fast, you can't even believe it. And let me tell you, the police contact me when they see something on there that only, quote, the killer knows, I have no idea, and they will subpoena the information of that particular poster. All I have is an IP address and an email, but I gladly give it to them. And the second anybody comes on with information that looks like a tip, we tell them, for God's sakes, email the police, call the police. Don't put it here. Don't come and talk about it on Web Sleuth. Remove it. Again, they're lumping us in with all the other people that don't do this. We do have verified family members and things like that that come on and may post sensitive information. I have no idea if it is. If it is, all the police need to do is call and let me know. We don't want to harm a case. But the problem is, the police do not want to be into the 21st century with crowd sleuthing and crowd solving. We are such a great resource if they would only realize it and get over their egos and let us help them. But we do our best to help them anyway, even though they think that we don't. We don't do what everybody else does. We try and protect the case. We protect innocent people. And we don't let people throw up wild rumors about people and about a case. We try to be as responsible as we possibly can.
We have to take a quick break, Troy, and we'll get back to you in a second. I want to talk a little bit about some of the cases, the high-profile cases that Web Sleuth has been involved with after the break.
Sure.
It's websleuth.com. If you check it out, websleuth.com, and we'll be back right after these messages.
See, I love the choice of music, Alan.
So does Wayman.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law. This is Troy Slayton, defense attorney from Los Angeles and now candidate for Los Angeles County Superior Court Judge, along with Alan Gervie, the maven of the law firm Rowan Gervie
and
Wynn.
I'm falling asleep listening to the music.
Oh, don't fall asleep, because we've got amazing guests. Jessica Everlith, executive producer of Web Sleuths.
Easy for you to say.
Sure. And Tricia Griffith joined us on the phone. This is an
There's a lot of thuz on there.
Yeah.
Web Sleuths, Griffith, and Everlith. This is Alan Gervius.
True crime podcast and internet sensation, Web Sleuths. Just before the break, we were going to talk with Tricia about what are some of the high-profile cases? What are her favorite cases that you guys have been covering?
Well, I can tell you some of the cases that are high-profile that we've actually been involved with.
Golden State Killer?
Well, yes, the Golden State Killer, but in particular, one that has brought in a lot of publicity lately, and that is Rebecca Zahow. And Rebecca Zahow, if you remember, she was the girlfriend who hung herself from her boyfriend's mansion.
Yeah.
And it was her boyfriend's brother that was just found responsible in a civil court. Now, Rebecca Zahow, she was the day before she killed herself, she was watching her boyfriend's young son. He fell down the staircase and eventually died. So,
you know, Alan, how could somebody be held responsible in a civil court for murder? For the death of another person. Isn't that a criminal matter?
I'm listening to Tricia. I really want to hear what she has to say about this.
Well, it is a criminal matter. And the problem is the San Diego Sheriff's Department refused to say Rebecca Zahow was murdered. They said she committed suicide. But what they, for some reason, overlooked that Rebecca Zahow hung herself outside with her hands tied behind her back, her feet tied together, and a T-shirt stuffed in her mouth, and all of these other clues. And eventually, the civil lawsuit that was brought by the family, like I said, the brother of the boyfriend was found criminally responsible. But here's what Web Sleuth did to help this case. Rebecca Zahow's family hired a civil attorney because the sheriff's department refused to classify this as a homicide. And his name was Keith Greer. Keith Greer didn't know much about the case. So what he did, he jumped on Web Sleuth. And he said he was able to catch up on Web Sleuth, and Web Sleuth members actually helped him figure out evidence. We had one of our members put together an amazing animation video showing how it was impossible for Rebecca Zahow to do what the sheriff's department
did. Why would someone take the time to do that?
To do what? Make a video, an audio? I mean,
yeah. Are they getting paid for it? Because, you know, getting back to Troy's questions about the difference in criminal and civil liability, a lot of it has to do with money, Troy.
Well, that's what a civil lawsuit is all about. It's
exactly.
Only about money.
Yeah. So
and it's about whether or not that this person was responsible by preponderance of the evidence, not beyond a reasonable doubt.
Right.
Whether they're responsible for the person's death.
So why do the members, Tricia, get so involved? Is it just out of fascination, or is there any kind of money involved?
There is no money involved, and it's out of caring more than anything, because who doesn't want to help? Who doesn't want to go, wait a minute, I think I could help solve this case. I think I could help this family whose hearts are broken. What I've found about Web Sleuths is there are a lot of good people out there, and all they want to do is to help. This particular member is brilliant. He is not even in the United States, and I believe he has like one of those genius minds, and he just wanted to help. That's the beauty of Web Sleuths. Most of the people there just want to help. Now, one of the most interesting cases we had was Abraham Shakespeare, homeless man who won the lottery, $32 million. All of a sudden, he disappears. And this woman appears, Dee Dee Moore, who says, I'm a friend of Abraham's, and he's signed over his power of attorney to me, and he just needed to escape the media. This is one of the very few times where we allowed our members to accuse somebody of murder who had not been accused by the police yet, because it was so obvious.
Wait, your members accused him of murder?
No, accused Dee Dee Moore, the woman who came out and said that she all of a sudden had power of attorney over this homeless man who had won the lottery, and the homeless man disappeared. And she said that he had gone off to some island to get away from the media.
So what happened in that case?
You didn't read Shakespeare?
I read Shakespeare, but not about this Shakespeare.
Well, what happened was our members did such a great job that in investigating the case, Dee Dee Moore herself joined the forum to try and dissuade us from believing she was the killer. One of the detectives joined and even thanked us for all the help, because one of our members found documents that they couldn't find without a subpoena. Dee Dee Moore was arrested and now is in prison for murder because Abraham Shakespeare's body was found under a slab of cement in her boyfriend's garage. Interestingly, the email I have from the detective thanking us, when I brought it forward to a reporter and he called to do the due diligence, the sheriff's department denied Web Sleuths had anything to do with it, and they didn't know anything about it. Now, that is not surprising, because I am sure this detective got in so much trouble for coming on Web Sleuths and thanking everybody and then putting it in writing how much we helped them. And so they had to back way off. And since then, this detective will not return my phone calls. I mean, it was really sad. This was back in 2009. And it just goes to show what an uphill battle we have to show the police that we will do this for free. And you can take all the credit. We don't care. But that was one of our more interesting cases. We also had a woman, a guy was missing, drove away from a bar one night, gone. And we had a member join who lived by this gentleman. Now, on his way home was a lake. And the police swore to the family they had searched the lake. That truck was not in there at all. And this member came on and posted on Web Sleuths and said, you know what, I'm going to take one more drive around the lake. This was a few months after he went missing. The lake had frozen. Again, police certain he was not in the lake. She drove around slowly, and she saw a teeny tiny glint of something. And sure enough, it was the antenna to the truck. And the
wait, how do you know that it was an antenna to the truck?
She posted about it.
It
was written about. Yeah. And so she found it. One of our members found this gentleman, and she was able to bring closure to the family. Hmm. It was very sad. It was very tragic.
Wow.
But again, somebody just decided to jump on, get involved, and they actually solved this missing person's case.
Jessica. I just want to ask Jessica about Heather Tiffany Robinson, because that's a fascinating case, and I know it's going to be the subject of the Tuesday podcast.
Yeah, we're very excited. Tricia did an hour-long interview with her that's going to air on Tuesday. Tricia, how did you connect with Heather? Do you want to tell them?
Yes, Heather contacted me because Heather is the result of her mother gave birth as a single mother, and then a serial killer killed her mother and adopted her out as a baby in arms to the serial killer's brother. And she contacted me as a grown woman and said, I want everybody to know that I am the woman, I'm the baby that John Robinson, the serial killer, he adopted me out to his brother, and I want to come forward. And that was about 3 years ago, and she and I talked and decided she wasn't ready yet. I said, Heather, when you're ready, you're not ready yet, but when you are, I will help you in any way I can. She came out, she talked to ABC, and now she's on this podcast, and I'm telling you, you're going to find it absolutely fascinating. She found out that she was adopted out by a serial killer who killed her mother by accidentally picking up the phone and overhearing a conversation when she was 15.
That's
crazy. Talk about childhood trauma.
Yeah, but don't give anything more away. Come on, Tricia. Okay. You got to get people to listen to the podcast.
I'm so sorry.
It's the Web Sleuths Radio podcast can be heard on almost any format for podcasts. Jessica Everleth behind the podcast.
She's great, by the way. Wonderful woman. Thank you, Jessica.
And if you get a chance, thank you, Jessica. There you go. And if you get a chance to watch some of her other work, it's really great, including Surviving R. Kelly. Jessica, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Tricia, thank you for all the information on Web Sleuth. It's websleuths.com, websleuths.com. A lot of people have a lot to say about it. People, there are, like we said, detractors, and then there are people who swear by it. So if you want to check it out and find out what people are saying about it and get involved, you could be the 137,001 member.
Absolutely.
Help solve some crimes.
So I really appreciate the opportunity. You don't know how much it means to me. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for being with us. And, solving crimes, doing some good work, that's something that Troy Slayton is very interested in. If you're interested in doing good, then you need to look at Troy Slayton's website, TroySlaytonForJudge.com, TroySlaytonForJudge.com. Good luck with this, and we'll have
you on.
But when's the election?
The election is March 3rd, 2020. So if you're not registered to vote, make sure you get registered and come out and vote. It's the presidential primary election, March 3rd, 2020.
I can't believe they vote for judges. Anyway.
Hopefully they'll vote for me for judge.
There you go. Thanks for listening to Gervie's Law this week. We'll be back with another fascinating, fascinating show next week. Hopefully we'll find Carrie Kasem. Where is she? Web Sleuths, find Carrie Kasem.
We'll find her.
This show furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.